Tuesday's front page, the Supreme Court ruled the constitutional right to keep and bear arms means there are limits on state and local gun controls. Why austerity measures didn't work when Ireland's economy collapsed, and the law that lets ordinary people fight India's powerful bureaucracy. From the newsroom of the New York Times, I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Supreme Court ruled that Americans have the right to own a gun for self-defense anywhere they live. This is the High Court curbed states and municipalities' power to impose gun controls. Times reporter John Schwartz explains a 5-4 ruling with enormous symbolic importance.
A year ago, the Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment gives individuals a right to keep and bear arms for personal protection. And now they've said again, the Second Amendment says what it sounds like it says. What they've come around and done this time is said that right, that individual right, is also now applied to state and local governments as well. State and local firearm regulations all over the United States. Now, the Supreme Court has said repeatedly that just saying that there is an individual right doesn't mean that that right is absolute. And they've said that there can be reasonable regulation. So it's possible some other regulation would pass muster, but it's unlikely that this one will.
Times reporter John Schwartz. He says lower courts are likely to be hit with appeals from prisoners. They'll claim the decision invalidated state or local statutes prosecutors used against them. Struggling European economies are starting to tighten their belts. Ireland did that 2 years ago after an economic collapse there. Officials cut spending and raised taxes. But reporter Liz Alderman says the downturn has been sharper than if the government had spent more to keep people working. Unemployment is above 13%. The Irish economy shrank 7.1% last year. And there are warnings more pain is ahead. Here in New York, 70% of top city officials are white. Under Mayor Michael Bloomberg, New York is trailing Los Angeles, where 52% of the top advisors to Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa are white. In Chicago, that figure is 61%. In Houston, it's 55%. Bloomberg's press secretary says the administration has made progress on diversity, but he says there's almost always more that can be done. The Justice Department announced charges against what it said were 11 Russian spies. Prosecutors said they lived in the U.S. for years under a deep cover program run by an agency that took over where the KGB left off. Some of them were assigned to live here as married couples. They even had children who apparently were unaware of what their parents were really up to. It's not clear whether the suspected spies actually stole any important secrets. Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia is dead at age 92. He was elected in 1958 and served longer than any senator in U.S. history. He was unapologetic about sending billions home to West Virginia, which he called one of the rock-bottomest of states. His perspective on the world changed over the years. In the 60s, he filibustered against the Civil Rights Act and supported the Vietnam War. Later on, he backed civil rights measures and criticized the war in Iraq. Here's part of a speech he gave on the Senate floor in 2003.
This is the wrong war. If we attacked Saddam Hussein, we would probably drive him from power. But the zeal of our friends to assist our global war on terrorism may have already taken flight.
Senator Byrd died in a hospital in Fairfax, Virginia. He'd been in failing health for several years. Tuesday's front page looks at a law that's helping ordinary people in India hold powerful bureaucrats accountable. Chanchala Devi is a day laborer there. 4 years ago, she applied for a $700 government grant to build the house she'd always wanted. Wealthier neighbors' applications sailed through, but hers didn't. A couple of months ago, she used India's Right to Information law to ask what was taking so long. She got her grant a few days later. Activists had hoped the law would limit corruption. It hasn't. Times reporter Lydia Polgreen says the bureaucracy often handles things the way it handled Ms. Devi. Inside Tuesday's Times, Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan promised that if she's confirmed, she'll hear cases with an open mind.
I will listen hard to every party before the court and to each of my colleagues. I will work hard. And I will do my best to consider every case impartially, modestly, with commitment to principle, and in accordance with law.
On the first day of her confirmation hearings, she promised the Senate Judiciary Committee she would not trample on the role of elected officials. She also referred to the years she spent in other branches of government, including 4 years in the White House during the Clinton administration. She'll face questions on Tuesday. If the relief well fails, then what? In the early days of the Gulf oil spill, relief wells seemed to be the fail-safe solution. Now BP officials are talking about a long-term containment plan to pump the oil out just in case the relief well doesn't work. Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen says he always wanted to have backups for backups. Some experts say he may need one if the bottom of the original well was damaged in the initial blowout. For a brief and puzzling moment, the Vatican pulled aside the veil that covers its internal business. It issued a communique chastising a powerful cardinal who'd criticized another powerful cardinal. That wasn't all. Times reporter Rachel Donadio says it managed to lay bare disagreements over the Vatican's handling of the sex abuse crisis, the deep generational divide in the church, the legacy of the last two popes, and, to top it off, a tantalizing whiff of who might become the next pope. All this in only 357 words. In Albany, state lawmakers voted to restore millions in education and health spending that Governor David Patterson had tried to cut. The legislature also scheduled a vote on nearly $1 billion in taxes and fees. That meant lawmakers could put off emergency bills Patterson had submitted that would have forced a partial shutdown of state government. The biggest runway at Kennedy Airport was closed for 4 months of repairs. There were predictions of delays when runway 13R-31L shut down in March, but the delays turned out to be about the same as last year. One in every five flights still left late. The runway opened again on Monday. Officials say the $376 million project will save on long-term maintenance. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.